Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Year Is with Red and Bobby.
Welcome back to the Year Is podcast, the podcast where every episode, me, comedian Bobby Mayer,
and me, comedian Red Richardson,
we go back to a year in history and we talk about the weirdest, the most interesting, and the strangest things from that year. And I gotta say, after over a month away, it's great to be home, baby.
Back in the studio.
We're back. We have so much to talk about.
We've got a lot. We've been in Edinburgh for a month. Jody's making noise. What's going on, Jody?
You just have your phone on.
Yeah.
Oh, after every week. Oh, I almost like 8 months of Jody being like, can you turn your phones off? Are your phones on?
Mine's on airplane mode, Jody.
Is someone's phone not in airplane mode because the mic's being weird, as if that's a thing?
In this podcast, you have to produce yourself, is what
with
our dealings with Jody.
It's good. You learn what you can do because other people let you down.
I tell you what's great about being here is the colour. After a month in Edinburgh where, God forbid, any building is not brown or grey.
They love the colour grey in Edinburgh.
It is disgusting.
Stone.
Yeah. It is. It just crushes in on you with the sky. And you just get surrounded by it.
Grey sky, grey buildings.
There's not even like, oh, we could paint this yellow. No. I think brownie grey is the only option for this city. People say it's a beautiful city. I disagree.
It is. But you visit it in a context that is your career being judged.
I think, yeah.
Well, you judging yourself.
I think if I drove through it, you know, one of those futuristic hover cars with a glass around it, I go, this is all right. Anything else, it sucks.
Yeah, you said that like that's such a relatable thing. You know, if you drove in a futuristic hover car.
Yeah, I don't enjoy that city at all. And there was a bin strike while we were there. I just want to say, may the bins pile high forever on that cursed, godforsaken brown grey shithole.
Imagine they hadn't got rid of the bin strike when the Queen died.
That would have been brilliant.
What a great metaphor for the state of the nation. Just like her, like, golden casket being dragged between, like, piles of garbage while the plebs picked food out of it.
Yeah, they probably would have cleared it for that. Imagine, not for the performers, though, and I think that was right. We don't deserve it to be cleared.
I think she really held on so that she didn't have to be taken through Edinburgh during the festival. Mm-hmm. That would have been crazy.
Yeah.
The Royal Mile, because they take her down the mile.
Remember, of course.
For people who haven't been to Edinburgh, the Royal Mile is this street in Edinburgh where people... It's like a main point of traffic, foot traffic.
Desperate performers begging for attention.
So it's a mixture of street performers, flyers, thousands of people walking down it.
Not this year, though. It felt dead, didn't it?
No, not to me, because my room was full, but it felt full.
No, I meant the mile felt nice.
No, it's so hard to compare. People are always like, last year was busier than this year. And I'm like, I don't know. I see a lot of people or no people. I don't know. But imagine the Queen died during that festival. And they would have had to take her down that mile.
Yeah.
While there's garbage. Like, forget the garbage.
Improv troupe.
Just an imp or a theater group, like, laying on the ground pretending to be dead.
Dressed as peasants going, oh, my queen, come watch our show at 5 a.m. There'll be break dancers trying to get onto her coffin. Probably would have been shot by the snipers they had set up. And good is what I think. It's what Edinburgh needs.
a couple dead actors.
Dead actors, bit more army presence.
Yeah.
few more rules.
I love that people are getting arrested for just shouting at Prince Andrew.
Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah.
A man who's completely evaded justice for his crimes.
His mother has just died.
Yeah, yeah, but he's, like, literally a criminal who faced no consequences other than, like, getting to live in, like, a less expensive house that we pay for.
Alleged crimes, and he had to sell his Swiss ski chalet, which you say he's gone unpunished. He loved that place.
he
fucking loved it. How would you feel if you had to sell your chalet?
I hate skiing, so I'd be happy.
Yeah, me too, actually.
I'd never have
to
go again.
Okay, but say if it was a house in a hot place.
Yeah, that would be sad.
Yeah,
I'm not saying he didn't have feelings about
it. So he's been through enough. His mother's dead. He's lost his chalet. Give the man
his fucking
break.
His mother was 96.
Break.
I'm not saying it's good that she's gone.
No, I
know. It's sad that she's... It's sad when people went,
people going, what a shock. And you're like, what do you mean? It was like, you know.
It'd be a shock if she ran a marathon.
Yeah, yeah, that wasn't quite a shock. I'm not anti-royals. I'm not like, oh, I love the royals. I like the queen. She's a constant throughout my life.
Well, the thing is, she's dead. I think so many people now are going to be more anti-royal.
Yeah, because Charles sucks. And have you already seen the videos of him being like, this fucking pen won't work. Yeah. And it's just like, you're being like a cartoon king villain. Stop.
I was talking to someone who was apathetic about the royal family pre-Queen Day. They were just like, yeah, whatever. And I'd be like, I think... This is insane that you have a royal family.
Well, it's just a mess around. It's insane we do Celebrity Get Me Out of It.
Yes, no, you say it's a mess around. I get that. But, I mean, they don't pay inheritance tax and they get a bunch of money from
the
public.
Who gives a shit? Every time you go past the Buckingham Palace, there's 300 moronic Americans taking selfies.
Yeah, sure.
Money in our pocket. Well, not ours, but in someone's pocket.
Yeah, not mine. But what I'm saying is...
Snappy Snaps would die without them.
So before that, the Queen, this person... was apathetic about right after the Queen died, and she sees like that display of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, in like these hard times, people getting arrested for calling like Prince Andrew what he is, you know, or just hates the royal family now.
Yeah.
So it like that. I think if anything, it exposes like how silly this all is, and they think them taking this long period of mourning.
Cancelling football. Don't take
as
football
as if
away
we're
from
all going to get... They didn't even cancel football during COVID because they knew...
This... Well, they did actually.
Yeah, but they brought it back quicker than anything.
Yeah.
But they brought it back quicker than
well,
anything
else.
Well,
we need our football, otherwise we will fucking
If you
start
take football away
other.
And it's like... Then people have more time to think.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like, if I was the royal family, I'd want to keep people quite pacified because we're running one of the biggest pyramid schemes in history. Like, it's them and the Pope in terms of just tricking people into giving them money.
Yeah. I watched a load on the Queen, and it's weird because... You just have this, every royal coverage, you'll be like this 60-year-old man who's like, his job is like professional royal historian and stuff like that, you know?
Oh, these people. I mean, before, like last week, that guy was an Uber driver. These people are...
Well, they wait and then they cash in. But they go, all the stories, like, and I met her once. She was so, so funny. Like, I nearly tripped over on the steps and she went, watch where you're going. And this mischievous smile she did. She was one of us. And so basically anything she does, they just doesn't, they're like, oh my God. But you know, she was for a lot of people, you know, a lot of things. And I think it's sad.
Symbols are important.
They are important. It's like Jesus and, you know, figureheads of other religions I won't name. You need them. Do they matter? Are they... Do they
but
do
you
anything?
Don't need them.
I don't need them.
You don't have any...
I needed the Queen.
Your figureheads are probably comedians.
Yeah, yeah.
Your totems.
But they do real stuff. But, you know, I think...
Yeah, they do real stuff.
Yeah, they actually do. The Queen would just sort of drive around, hello, it's great to be here. But
she worked so hard.
She did, but her job was like shit. Would you want to be a royal? I wouldn't.
I have no interest. It'd be a horrible life. But
have you seen the pictures of Meghan?
What?
Crawling out of the vents at Balmoral. Wearing a balaclava with a syringe in her hand.
I'm surprised that hasn't been on the cover of the Daily Mail.
She runs past the camera and goes, shh.
The Daily Mail would print that.
There's so many people. No one knows what to do. Twitter is either, I hate the Royals, or the Royals are doing it. And it's like, all of you, just shut the fuck up.
It's so fucking boring.
A 96-year-old woman's died, regardless of what you think about it. Should it be this big a deal? Well, yes, she's massive. She's been famous for years. So, of course, it's going to be people are like, well, other 96-year-olds are going to die. It's like, yeah, but when Frank Sinatra dies, it's bigger than when Dave the fucking plumber dies. It's just the way the world works. Is it fair? Who cares?
I'm staying home the day of that funeral because...
Oh, I'll be there. No. Paying my respects.
No, there's going to be, I assume, a church with...
You assume every, a church.
I assume that's where her funeral is.
I think it'll be at Brixton Academy.
Yeah. Well, that'd be quite cool, actually. Everybody ready for the show!
Yeah.
Funeral, I mean.
Lies in the care for the queen. But no, they'll be. It's going to be massive. I think what they should have done is done a big news day, relaxed for the next... Well, 2 days of big news, relax for a bit now, and then do big funeral, because it is too much now.
No one cares. But I do... think the reason I'm staying home the day of the Queen's funeral is because it is such an opportunity for a terrorist attack.
Oh, it's huge, actually.
That if I went and then there was a terrorist attack, I would be like, yeah, obviously, every world leader will be in the same building. If they 9/11 that church, they could change the course of human history.
I mean, yeah, it would start everything over, wouldn't it?
It would really.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
What's that?
Let's 9/11 the Queen's funeral.
No.
No, I'm joking.
No. But like, I'm not going.
But they might listen to that. You know, I put a picture on Instagram and I said, oh, something about something. And I go, I might just join ISIS, to be fair. And they got banned from Instagram. Because they obviously just have, I don't think any of my beloved followers would dare report me. But I think maybe in the algorithm they just see ISIS.
Yeah.
So if you're listening from the CIA or wherever, the Kremlin.
The Kremlin?
Yeah.
What's Putin going to do? Putin will be...
Well, he's very sad. He fucking loved the Queen.
He was not very sad.
He was fucking
gutted.
The
idea that Vladimir Putin feels very sad about it. He literally... Vladimir Putin has killed so many people. Like, forget Ukraine for a second. In Russia, so many people who are in charge of energy companies are just falling off buildings lately. It's so sad.
I know. My very close friend in the Kremlin said to me that when the Queen died,
that's a ridiculous
sentence. Putin reacted like Simba does in The Lion King when Mufasa died.
Okay.
He was devastated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how he described
it. What did Vladdy do?
He just cried and then went and hid and made friends with a warthog. No, it's going to be...
Oh, fuck.
Any
Vladimir
terrorist...
Putin.
This is like their World Cup, isn't it? It's X Factor.
Yeah. I like the idea that after Ukraine is over and Ukraine has taken back its country, that Putin does go on a little... A soul-searching quest.
Yeah, he goes to Thailand.
Because he thinks it's his fault.
Yeah.
And he leaves Russia, and then it gets really bad, and they bring him back. They say, we always needed you, Vladimir. They have the evil democracy now. Mm-hmm. Come back and save us. And demography is Scar.
Demography.
But... And Vladimir is Simba.
Yeah.
And Simba teams up with all his old oligarch friends. Yeah. And that's Timon, Pumbaa, and that lady lion that it's hot when he fucks her. And then they all team up together and he gets back in power. And they celebrate the 2030 New Year.
Well, someone comes and picks him up and holds him across aloft Russia.
Dennis Rodman or somebody. Dennis Rodman could pick him up like a baby. He's a big boy.
You could do that with Kim Jong-un, actually. He's tiny. Just aloft.
He's quite a sturdy guy,
yeah,
though.
He's fucking
he's
fat.
He's packed on some pounds.
He's a fat little man.
I think
man.
He's got the gout.
Yeah, he must do. Someone said he drank like 12 bottles of wine a day.
I like that.
Mm.
So yesterday, because I missed you, because you went away after Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. You went to Menorca.
I needed a break. I went to Menorca. Actually, so quickly, just on the Queen, I ended up getting fed up with coverage quite quickly. Because she died, and I was like, that's so upsetting. I was a Brit aboard, classic, red in the face, tears streaming down my patriotic cheeks, fuming. And no, I'm joking. But I was, you know, it was a shock. She's been there my whole life. Anyway... About to get on the plane. We get on the plane, land in Gatwick. and I'm trying to find out where my baggage was. My plane was 3 hours delayed. Get in. The baggage took 2 hours to come out. And there's a screen that's meant to tell you which thing it's at. And every 2 seconds, they just swap the screen with a RIP. And the first time, you're like, great, Britain, I'm brilliant. And then by, like, fifth time, you're like, all right, fuck, you know, she's dead, I get it. Just tell me where my bags are so I can go and mourn in the Uber, please. I can want to go home. But yes, we were about to refer to your con yesterday.
It wasn't a con.
It was.
So I had to drive to west of London to drop off a hard drive for a special that I'm getting edited.
A special is a comedy show.
A comedy special. My hour. I've filmed my hour. Jody, our producer, filmed and edited it.
I don't think they should be called specials anymore, because they used to be called specials because it was the best of the best, released their best material once every 10 years. Now, every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Bobby can put one out.
Don't call me a Tom, Dick, Harry, and Bobby. Every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Red.
Yeah, you're planning one. Hey?
I am
another
planning
one.
A special.
Every Tom, Dick,
watch this space.
Harry, Red.
But yeah, but can I put in context quickly so they have some context? I've been home 2 nights in about 6 weeks. So yesterday I'm relaxing.
Play a small violin. Red had to go to a sauna every day in Edinburgh for a month. What a sad.
Room.
He lived in student accommodation, eight meals out, and did one show a day.
Yeah.
And went to a sauna every day. He's acting like he worked really hard for a month. I had to walk 25 minutes a day and
it was
25
horrible.
Minutes back.
Surrounded by a sea of gray and brown houses.
Yeah, okay. But
and
anyways.
Bins piling.
So you haven't been home in
face.
6 weeks. You hadn't seen me in about a week and a half.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I thought it would be nice. I had to drive west of London.
Mm-hmm.
So I called you.
No, you said I'm going to West London.
I misspoke. West of London.
Slough.
West of London.
Bobby called me and said, I'm going to West London. You fancy a quick cruise? And I thought, you know what? I'm doing nothing. This will be half an hour there, half an hour back. And he was like, I'll buy you a McDonald's. I was like, why the hell not? Get in the car. We're driving and we're in Vauxhall. We've been in the car for like 20 minutes. And Bobby goes the wrong way. And I look at his Google Maps. And I'm like, why is it saying an hour and a half till our destination? And then he's like, oh, yeah, it's west of London. I'm like, you said, I thought you meant like Earl's Court. It was fucking Slough.
Yeah,
we were in Slough.
It was actually north of Slough.
It was raining.
It
we
was
got
farther
stuck in traffic.
Than Slough.
He picked me up at 2:30. I got home at 6:20.
It was
absolute. I didn't get McDonald's. He bought me a Fanta lemon.
I offered McDonald's. You said
and then
no.
His lovely child, who's usually amazing, obviously horrified by what Bobby had put her through, was actually speaking for the both of us. Projectile screamed is the only way I can think of it. For the hour of
she
the way back,
the whole time we
the
fed
whole way
milk.
Back, and I agreed with her about everything. She was like screaming. Her nose was red from screaming.
That's not true.
And we were stuck in traffic. It was pissing with rain. And then at one point I said, Bobby, just let me out.
You didn't. I said, do you want to get out? When I made a wrong turn and drove into Heathrow Airport, and I was like, Red, we're at Heathrow. Do you want to get out here?
But it was terrible. And it's not the first time he's tried. Once he rang me and said, do you want to come to Leicester? I'm doing a gig. And I said, what? And he's like, yeah, I've got an hour booked. And I was like, well, no, that's so far. I'll do 20 minutes.
Should have said.
And he went, no, just come for the journey.
Well, but I learned a lesson that day, because what I should have said was, do you want to go to Leicester? Squares are good shapes. Leicester squares are good shapes.
Yeah, you'd say north of London.
I should have snuck. Yeah. I said west.
North of London.
Do you want to go to Leicester Square, north of London?
Yeah, so I wasted about 4 hours, didn't get McDonald's.
You didn't waste 4 hours. You told me about all your new ideas. We talked about our lives. We bonded. You didn't. It was nice. I didn't want to be in the car alone.
We've done enough of all of that.
No, it was like a live car podcast.
There's about 100 recorded hours of that.
If I would have left you at home, though, you would have looked at your phone on your couch. Instead, you looked at your phone in my car. Nothing changed.
Yeah, but it made me car sick. Look at my phone in your car. Wouldn't have felt sick at home.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. And then I had to listen to Baby Shark times 10.
Well, my baby loves the song Baby Shark, so I play Baby Shark and she usually quiets down.
And then Bobby was like, have you got YouTube on your phone? I'm like, of course I do. You know I do. He made me, he's like, she needs to watch this thing to stop crying. Because her baby seat's facing the back, I was in the front seat, so I had to lean over. I had a bad back anyway, which is killing me. And I had to lean around with my phone in her face to stop her from crying.
Yeah, in Edinburgh, when Red was in the sauna every day.
Steam room.
The hardest month of his life. The hardest month of his life in the steam room every day. He,
I just don't like Edinburgh.
I know you'd, I know.
Yeah. Thanks.
It's just.
I enjoyed the live shows we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were good.
You don't like the grayness?
I don't like the greyness. Or the brown, as I've said already.
I don't think there's that much brown.
It's a disgusting place.
I think
it's
you
shit.
See it as brown, it but is it's brown. Actually
it's
what's
horrible.
Brown?
It's just, I don't know. We should just fucking bomb it. Just get rid of it.
I think that's why it looks cool, because it probably didn't get bombed.
It should have been bombed a long, long time ago.
Okay.
Okay. The next fringe should be in Iceland.
That's a very expensive city.
Yeah, but very nice
country.
Place to be.
I've never been. Have you been to Iceland?
No. I don't really do. I don't. Cold isn't a holiday for me. I would go, but I'd rather go somewhere hot.
What if you went in the summer?
It's still cold, isn't it?
No, it's like, no, they have summers.
Well, how hot are they? Pull that up, Jody.
Jody.
Yeah, see? We're about to find out. They got polar bears. That's quite cool.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
They have those hot springs, so it's like a,
oh,
a
I'd
natural
like that.
Hot tub.
Up for that.
Imagine being a caveman and you discover a natural, like, just
yeah.
like...
Your life's so
you've
shit.
Never
like,
even, you've never even encountered boiling water.
Yeah, yeah,
maybe
yeah.
it boils water on a fire, you know, to, like, clean a wound. But then you stumble upon just a hot tub in nature, and you're like, this is where we're going to stay.
It's funny that the man who discovered fire is probably the biggest idiot in the whole village, you know? Like, just rubbing sticks together forever is, like, probably just something really wrong with
I don't
him.
Think there would be a village pre-fire. It would be, no
matter. I don't think it's any man for himself. I think they'd hang out and go, we're the same.
Okay.
But the most annoying, you know, when you're like someone who just hits a pot. That
yes.
was that guy, but he discovered flame because he just did something over and over again.
Yeah.
He's probably a fucking moron. Jody?
So, yeah. Iceland summer, pretty much like Scotland, as warm as 25 centigrade, Blech. As low as 5.
Yeah, so you're not after that.
No, but climate change?
Yeah, with a bit of luck, it could be the new Magaluf.
Yeah.
British tourists just vomiting on polar bears, dancing to house music.
Hey, we have a new sponsor this week. It's DBT UK. If you don't know what DBT is, it's a form of therapy that really helped my life. A few years ago, I had a complete mental breakdown. I was running around a fucking roundabout screaming. I was crying randomly. I was suicidal. I tried everything. And then I went and I did DBT, and it changed my fucking life. It was originally developed for people with borderline personality disorder, but they figured out that it works for lots of people, anyone really that is struggling with emotional dysregulation. If you can't control your emotions and or your behaviors, this can really work for you. So I would really 100% recommend it. Like if you want to just message me and ask, if you're going through something, message me and I can tell you how it worked for me. If you want to just email them, then email info@dbt-uk.co.uk. And if you mention the promo code YEARIS, you will get half off on your initial assessment. It's a really worthwhile form of therapy that I cannot recommend enough. Okay, so Red, since I did the research the last live show,
yeah,
you have researched for this episode.
Yeah. Quickly before we go in, I just want everyone who listens to this, watch Wayne Lineker's tribute to the Queen.
I saw it.
It's brilliant. We're talking about Matt. He's an Ibiza club owner. Brother
Gary
Lineker. He has loads of women in sort of royal lingerie, and
yeah.
he does a minute of silence at his club in Ocean Beach Club in Ibiza. And it's... I dare you to try and watch that without having a tear in your eye. It's beautiful. Anyway, Bobby, we did the last show we did. Bobby turned up late. I flied on my own for an hour. It was a live show. And he said, don't worry, I've done the research. We go inside the venue. I see him on Wikipedia, literally just with 2014 on his phone. We'll do that a year again. He hadn't done any research, so he's just reading stuff out. And then he runs out of cellular data, so he's desperately trying to reconnect. Meanwhile, we're in front of an audience of about, let's for the sake of the podcast, say
3,000 people.
Yeah, 2,000 to 3,000 people. And it was a fucking disaster. Somehow we got through it.
It wasn't Today, a disaster. It was an anarchic, fun experience.
That's true.
And it was a creative choice on my part to look the stuff up as we... did the show to see what that would be like. Do I think I'll do it again? No, but am I glad I let myself experiment creatively?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And if you took more chances, Red,
yeah,
then that'd be cool.
Okay.
But I'm glad you didn't take that chance today because it was difficult.
It was very hard, especially live. Today, We are going back to 1769.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
That's before the American Revolution.
It's before Simon Cowell was
Alexander
born.
Hamilton would have been like 11 then.
Yeah. Maybe, Les Dennis wasn't even...
Maybe 13.
...on television. It's very far back.
Have you seen Hamilton?
No, I'm not going to watch either. You've already told me. I've seen you sing it. Don't like musicals. We talked about this. That looks shit.
What about the story of Hamilton, though, as a guy?
Don't care!
You don't care about Alexander Hamilton?
No.
The streets are waiting.
I've heard you sing it. You sang it in lockdown for like an hour, didn't you?
No, that was a mistake because I sang the whole musical to Harriet, but it's actually 6 hours of words in 2 hours.
And what did you do? She just sat there, had to listen to it.
Well, eventually she had to help because I ran out of breath and I couldn't do it anymore.
What was this for?
That was just for Instagram Live to raise money for food banks.
Did anyone sit and watch the whole thing?
Yeah. And Lin-Manuel, who wrote Hamilton, is one of the most respected musical writers in the world and actors, tweeted at us and said, "History has its eyes on you," which is a quote from Hamilton.
You.
Huh?
Sounds like she hates you.
He.
Lin.
Jesus
Lin.
Christ. Lin-Manuel.
Lin. Going around my mate Lin's house.
Yeah, well, if you're
He's a great guy, Lin.
If you're named Lin... Oh, Linda. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was fucking 1980. If you're named Lin, you got to go into musicals. If you're a man named Lin,
that's
it's
true,
like...
That's true. But history's watching you sounds like what you'd say to someone.
History has its eyes on you is a quote.
I'd say that to Putin.
It's a quote from history has its eyes on
you. Yeah, but it sounds like
you.
She's saying stop doing bad things. That's what I'd say to
no,
Putin.
No, he was saying, he might have been saying that. Yeah. But anyways, I'm sorry. During a pandemic, I wanted to raise money for a charity. Did you raise any money for any charities during
the pandemic? No, I signed up to the Dole.
Okay, well, yeah. So I was actually helping you. I was raising money for you. You didn't even, you signed with the door like day two. You were like, all right, I'm going to...
In January, I started filling the forms.
Yeah, when it...
But yeah, so 1769 is a big year because a great man was... Well, bad man, but...
You just called him a great man.
He was a great man.
You just called a guy who probed, okay.
You're great. No, honestly, you're going to hear some stuff and you're going to enjoy it.
A man who, with hindsight, you can enjoy some of his acts. 1760
man.
An entertaining man.
Napoleon Bonaparte was born.
What the fuck was that?
That is a French,
have you been doing
Italian, Corsican
accent. Have you been doing Duolingo?
Napoleon Bonaparte.
Have you been Duolingo?
While I was away in Menorca, I did a lot of research on Napoleon Bonaparte. He's Corsican, so that's why you say it like that, because that's the accent, I assume. It's half Italian, half French, so I just put them together.
So is Corsica an island?
Corsica is an island by Sardinia, off Italy. It was invaded by France in 1769, the year Napoleon was born.
Interesting.
That's so Napoleon
prophetic
was his mum and dad were revolutionaries who were fighting the Corsicans, fighting against the French, and then his dad was like, maybe I could side with the French and become like involved with them. So he did that.
So his dad was a traitor,
kind of. But so they've been hiding in the woods for ages and like killing people, and it's hot out there. And his mum was pregnant at the time.
With Napoleon.
She'd had 15 kids and 8 had died, eight survived. She had 15 pregnancies.
Sure.
Eight.
I think that's a pretty...
And then the dad
the
went, you know what? I'm sick of throwing rocks at these people in 40-degree heat. Let's just fucking join them. You know what I mean? It's France. It's all the same shit, isn't it?
Okay.
He joins them and becomes like...
And what was the dad's name?
I can't remember, but Napoleon was named after a great uncle.
Okay.
But they had... we will call him Napoleon. And his name was Bonaparte. They changed it later so it could fit in more in French. But Napoleon, despite becoming Emperor of France, hated French people for most of his life, which is quite funny because he considered himself Corsican. But then he just sort of like, he was like the ultimate opportunist. He went, because of his dad's position, he went to all the top French schools. He was bullied, which happens to a lot of dictators. They get bullied. Okay. He was also 5'5",
Well, 5 foot five at then, I don't think it, I think it's probably average height.
It was average height, but now people refer to it as the Napoleon complex, being short, you know. Short,
but he was
complex.
Actually a normal heighted man.
But what's funny about short people is people go, oh, you got a short man complex or short man syndrome or Napoleon complex because you want to dominate to make up for your lack of height. And it's like, where do you think this complex came from? You lot. Do you know what I mean? Short people, they act like short people are born with it. It's like, no, 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 we don't know you're short until you start putting our, hiding our gloves on the top of our lockers and laughing while we jump up and down and try and get them.
Okay.
Yeah, and that stays with you. And we remember that when we're riding across the battlefield with a musket.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't know if Napoleon had a musket. I feel like he would have been in the back.
No, he was in, what was so loved about him is he got involved.
Okay.
So he was like, I won't ask my soldiers to do anything I wouldn't do.
Okay, interesting. Let's go back, though. Let's go
okay,
back.
Okay, let's go back.
You were at his dad.
We were at his dad. Napoleon gets to go to all the great schools because of his dad. So he goes to boarding school in France, which would have been shit. He's short. He's ugly.
He's not short, though. He's average height.
He's short in Napoleon complex.
Okay.
He's short. He's ugly. He can't speak French that well, so he has to learn French while he's there.
Sure.
And he gets bullied and teased a lot, and his dream is to just win back Corsica and make it his own place.
Okay.
But he slowly starts rising up the ranks. He joins the armies and the artillery, and he just starts showing that he's a genius at battle.
Really?
And like a strategic battle and stuff like that. And so at the time, there's King, what's the lady? Marie Antoinette. Who's her husband? The one who said, let them eat cake.
That was Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, who's her husband? Yeah, she said that, but who was her husband at the time? King Louis II, something.
The 14th? Is that King Louis the 14th?
Philippe Petit. Yeah.
If I can read Roman numerals right, I think it's Louis the 16th.
Louis the 16th. Sounds dodgy, but we'll go with it. There's more names than Louis, France. But anyway, the 16th, you think after the 10th, you go, maybe let's switch this up.
Yeah.
What about a Philippe or something? Or a Pierre? Anyway... He was the king at the time.
If this accent continues, I'm going to walk in.
Well, no, it's the whole thing. It's a French Corsican.
Why did Bobby walk into the sea? I never heard of it. Even if you're like, that's, yeah, with Red's accent.
It's because I've researched this and I'm feeling really confident, so I'm doing the voices as well. But so there was King Louis XVI.
So
decadence everywhere. Robespierre, the general's like, let's fuck this guy up.
And
let's
where's Napoleon at this point?
Napoleon's just a lowly artillery guy, Corsican artillery guy. And suddenly, so they kick out the king, take him, and the...
Like the revolution.
Revolution. It's the French Revolution. They cut the king's head off. Guillotine. Bang. See you later. Have some of that dick. Kill his wife.
Yeah.
They made a film about it with Kirsten Dunst. Never seen it. Looks shit. Anyway, all the other countries, like England and Austria and Spain and stuff, are like... That's not good. If they can just kill a king, we don't want people getting ideas in our countries.
Well, America, actually, there was an argument in America from Thomas Jefferson to help.
Mm.
But...
What, to help against Napoleon?
No, to help in the revolution.
Mm.
Like, and then, but America just stayed out of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's no king. There's no, why are we going to get involved?
Let them
sort it out.
But so they were, because they were a
Jefferson
revolution.
Wanted to intervene, yeah.
Mm. And, so they all like were like, look, we got to go to France and crush this. Otherwise, our peasants will get the same idea.
Sure.
So they then sent their peasants to go and stop them getting ideas about their own freedom. Basically, send their army to France and allied forces.
So what countries are these then?
France, Austria, Spain, Portugal.
They join up their armies and they go to France.
They go to France and they're crushing France. And then Napoleon...
Battlefield
by
genius.
This point is head of the artillery, and he's like, I've got this plan. Let's run through, get our men on here, and we'll cannon them from the top of this hill. And everyone's like, that's a stupid idea. Da-da-da-da-da. Like one of those, you know, in those crime dramas when the lead cop's always like, you don't know it. You know, you can't do that. And the like, younger, he's like, yes, it will work.
Because I'm assuming at this point, was artillery quite a new...
Yeah.
It would have been quite a new form of warfare, you know.
Well, I think they're like half swords, half, you know, this is the Industrial Revolution is just taking off.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
So cannons, people aren't quite sure how to use cannons in battle yet.
Yeah, it's a bit like Nokia 3310, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you can play Snake, but it's not really a mobile yet, is it? You know?
Sure.
Anyway, they, he, he everyone's rejecting him, and then he's got this one guy who he like convinces to let him do it. So they do this amazing charge, get up this hill, and they just shell the fuck out of the Allies and get them cornered in and destroy them.
How many of them?
Like thousands. I think they kill like 25,000 people in one day or something like that. It's crazy. Just wipes out this whole.
And they're fine.
They're all fine. They lose no one because they, you know,
they're at the top of the
hill. Crush them. And so then everyone's like, this guy's a genius. And so he gets promoted, and then he just keeps winning battles. He wins like 48 in a row.
48?
Yeah. And then he's like, they send him to Italy. And he just starts, because Italy wasn't Italy then. It was loads of provinces that were run by, like, France, Austria, stuff like that. And he just starts crushing Austria and would, like, go up against armies way bigger than his, and he always fought alongside his men. But what's funny is he loved art, but, like, he'd stole all of Italy's artwork.
Mm.
But, like, if he couldn't fit it in his thing, he'd, like, cut it in two. So
he liked the idea of art, yeah. But not much.
So the Louvre is his. That was Napoleon's personal art collection. But he'd, like, tear canvases off walls. And at one point, he met the Austrians because they were like, look, let's have peace talks. And as a sign of respect, they passed him a cup, which was from Catherine II, which is, like, 2,000 years old, a cup with a teapot and to pour his own tea. And he picked it up and went, this is what I think of your empire, and smashed it on the floor.
That is pretty so amazing.
2,000-year-old cup.
There's probably someone in the corner going, come on!
It's so unnecessary. It's so petty and just destroying things.
It's great. Well, I mean.
So he just completely fucked that up. But he had a wife who he used to write her love letters, and they read them out on this thing I was listening to. And they're really like, you know, over. He's like, my heart dies from 1,000 daggers every second I'm not with you. That sort of stuff.
That's him or her?
Him to her. She was 10 years older than him, had two kids from someone else, was going out with one of his best mates. And his best mate was like, look, this woman's doing my head in. Please take her off my hands. Apparently, she was ugly as hell, had black teeth. But he thought she was like the hottest woman in the world.
I like that.
They said in the thing I was listening to that even like the royal painters couldn't flatter her on canvas. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't enough there to make pretty. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It would have just been a different person.
It's not like he was great looking either.
No, but
they're both ugly.
Yeah, but so she used to read his letters out to her high ranking friends, and they'd all laugh at his letters. And while he was in Italy, she started having an affair. And he found out about the affair.
The fact that someone else is like, yeah, I'm interested. Like, yeah. His black tooth charmer.
I know. And, well, she had money.
Okay, fair enough.
She had Napoleon's money. He was on 40,000 a year back in
the 1769.
That's
1769 was the year he was born.
Yeah. So, but this is, you know. But in that, you know, there's still whatever. It's fucking loads of money. And instead of killing her because he loved her so much, he had her favorite dog poisoned.
For cheating.
Yeah, just so she knew how much it hurt. Which is a nice touch, if you know. It's definitely petty. But, yeah, he just kept, like, crushing people. He went to Italy, got the, what was it called again? The Rosetta Stone, which is basically his army discovered that, which is how he worked out calligraphy, because it was a stone that would show you what the letters meant and stuff.
His army discovered the Rosetta Stone. Are you sure?
Yeah, and the British stole it, I think.
I thought Rosetta Stone. Okay.
No, it was Napoleon. It was funny when I was listening to this podcast about Napoleon in Mallorca. The guy who hosted, you know, like, historians are always really weird, and they say stuff, and you're like, you didn't need to say that. They're talking about Napoleon's wife's, like, lover, and they're like, and he was a demon in the sack. It's just like, where did you read that, and why do you know what I mean?
Who knew?
Yeah, why is that important?
Well, we might as well just reference this podcast about Napoleon you listen
no,
to.
No, I don't want to, because then they'll go listen to that. No, but Red, bullshit. I'm, like, badly regurgitating what the fuck they were saying.
But Red. Red, yeah? Let's just tell them what it's called.
It's called Noiser Napoleon. And it's actually one of the good ones where the host doesn't have annoying voice.
We can't hide that there's better history podcasts.
I know, but then the thing is, the people who listen to us think we're the only thing out there.
I've read there's no way anyone listening to us thinks we're the definitive source for any information.
Why, let's go listen to Dan Carlin then, you know?
No, okay, Red.
Or Horrible Histories with Greg Jenner.
Okay. Who's Greg Jenner?
I fuck knows. He's a historian. Is that his name, or is that Kris Jenner's husband?
What? I assume.
Or is that Caitlyn's old nose?
It's one of the Kardashians into history. What do you?
Greg Jenner. There's a guy who does horrible histories, and it's a rival podcast, and we shouldn't be fucking talking about it on our podcast.
Okay.
Because this is the only source of information.
Okay, Red. Mm-hmm. So Napoleon, yeah. He's in power. He's got this wife. Is he Napoleon by this point? Is he the, like?
He's become, instead of Napoleon Bonaparte, he's now Napoleon Bonaparte.
Okay.
Which is a French, if you notice, I changed the voice to match the Frenchness.
Whoa.
Yeah, okay. So that's that. And then, so Napoleon's obsessed with war. He can't sit still. He, like, loves war. Mm-hmm. He's, like, gets bored without it. And it's a game to him. He fucking enjoys it. It's brilliant. Yeah. So he's, like, now he goes to Egypt. And he's like, let's just crush the Egyptians. So he starts, like, he starts fighting people with, like, you know, swords and stuff. And they did one battle where his men killed 30,000 people and they lost 26. Kind of not fair. If you're the 25,000th guy in line running with your sword, I just dig a hole in the sand and hide in it for a bit. they find the Rosetta Stone, probably fucking ruin millions of other artifacts that he didn't deem worthy.
And people.
Yeah, and loads of people, more importantly. But he came up against this guy in a walled citadel, the name I've forgotten, he's this fucking savage leader who lives in the citadel. And this guy, to make a point about his ruthlessness, he killed six of his wives in the same day, using a different technique. One was his bare hands. So Napoleon's like, I want to fight this legend. And so he goes up, and Napoleon's men get absolutely smashed by this guy.
What, hand-to-hand combat?
Well, because they're in this walled thing, so they use all this. And the thing is, everyone's dying. They've all got dysentery and stuff that, because they're not drinking fucking water. They start eating monkeys and stuff like that. They can't eat anything.
Yeah,
it's
the desert's not that hospitable.
No, it's not at all. And you just got this fucking tiny man at the front with a boner for winning, just going, I'm this way. And you're like, oh, God. Napoleon flees and just goes back to France. And they're like, what happened? He's like, yeah, we just fucked him up. So he just lies about
it. He left his whole army,
left his men there.
Did they all die? Or did they make it
back? Most of them died. And then while he was in Egypt, he stole one of his men's wives, she dressed up as a soldier so she could be with her husband and joined in the fight.
Quite badass.
It's wicked. But then you think, if you love him that much, why do you run off with this fucking tiny little angry man?
Well, because he's Napoleon.
He's Napoleon.
Power.
Yeah. But so the man gets cucked. Goes back to France, and Napoleon is writing letters to his wife saying, stop fucking this guy. And they go back on this ship that gets retrieved by the British Army, and the British Army find these letters and like, aha, and they print them all over the press, and like, Napoleon's begging his wife not to shag someone else and absolutely trash him.
Yeah.
He was not happy.
That would be a pretty, that's a pretty salacious story.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, intercepting a dick pic from Putin. And he's got a little chode.
Yeah. That happened to Bezos.
Really?
Saudi Arabia, they leaked his dick pics.
Really?
Yeah.
It's funny with, like, because Napoleon back then being like the big man, it's like, well, what was he, you know, if you said to Napoleon, oh, there's going to be this guy in the world, he's probably one of the most powerful people in the world, he's called Jeff Bezos. And you'd be like, oh, cool. What, he's got a massive army. It's like, no. You order socks off him and they get delivered really quickly. You know what I mean? Like, what power has become?
He'd just go and take it.
Yeah. That would be great. You see Jeff Bezos and you go, why doesn't someone just take him?
Yeah.
Just give it to me, you fuck. But, and then he makes the fatal mistake, which Hitler made 100 years later. No one learns.
Russia. Oh, no.
Don't go to Russia. Ever.
So, even after Egypt, where he lost a lot of his... In Egypt, when he lost his army, that wasn't his whole army.
No, and people keep getting born, don't they?
Yeah.
And 11-year-olds, now 16-year-olds. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But my brother went with, he was a good guy. get on the ship. And so they go to Russia, and he's like, the thing is, in Russia, and when people were like, so Wellington, who was the British admiral at the time, like, fucking great, they were like, he was asked to help in America, and he goes, I will not fight in a land where they can keep retreating, because you can't win, because you just keep marching on into territory and unknown climate. And da, da, da. So Russia just basically went, cool. He arrives in Russia.
Maybe that's what's happening in Ukraine right now.
Yeah. Well, no, they're pushing them back.
I, well, I, yeah.
They come in and then.
But I always thought, like, the second Putin invaded Ukraine, everyone's like, oh, obviously Russia's going to win. It's like, they'll never hold Ukraine because if Ukraine's huge. If you do the numbers, it's like, even if you take the whole Russian army, you have like one soldier per square kilometer or something. And it's a lot of Ukrainian people.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're going to get you. Like,
and they don't like you.
They don't want you there.
Can you imagine being a soldier in Ukraine and that just like, just the looks the old women give you when you're like, she's got a son who probably hates me as much as she does. You know?
Also, the pointlessness of it. Yeah. You're like, this is Russia. And then they're like, no, this is not Russia. And you're like, oh.
No, Russia's where I live. And I actually just had a PlayStation.
I wish I could go home. I'm 18.
Yeah, like, what is this?
I do have empathy for...
Well, it's like when people try and take Afghanistan. It's like, yeah, get used to some fucker running up to you with a bomb every 3 seconds. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's not happening, buddy.
Yeah.
They do not want you there.
Very hostile.
No, but so Napoleon, this is actually... No, I hate to praise Russia on this podcast, but this is quite cool. When he arrives, he like runs towards a big city. Might be Moscow. He gets there and it's burnt out. Everything's burnt out. They filled the water system with dead animals. The entire city's water system. He gets there and it's on fire. And he's like, this is fucking spooky. Like, they left the city.
They raised it.
Burnt it down. Yeah. Put dead animals in the water supply. Because Russians call it scorched earth policy. Like, destroy everything so nothing can grow. We know a few comedians who do that.
Yeah. And then, but now they're in the middle of nowhere. There's no water nearby.
And then Russia are like, oh, you want to fight us? Fight our country first. Fight the conditions first, you know?
Yeah.
Which is what they do.
Let the elements.
Enjoy the minus 50 fucking weather, you know?
So what?
Are you thirsty?
So did they just wait them out then?
Badger bacteria in a dirty cup.
So did they just wait them out till winter? What did
they do? Yes, they're there and they're like, right, this is shit. All their wine's like frozen.
Yeah.
They went over with 500,000 men and which came back like 25,000.
Oh my God.
And so they started like pushing on, but they couldn't get any further because the winter's too strong and too brutal. So like, right, we don't even know where the enemy is. We got to go back. So they start going back because Russia's fucking huge.
The enemy just went and hid.
Yeah. It's literally like, oh, we're going to burgle your house. It's like, no, you're not going to lock the front door. We're going to hide in the attic and watch you.
That's what's really amazing about that is, like, he was a strategic genius, but he never considered, maybe he did, but what it seems like he didn't consider was the strategy of just not fighting.
Yeah. No, he was too active. He had to. So that's the problem.
They kind of, his personality flaw was that he would, he's like a cat that would always chase a mouse. So he's predictable then.
Of course. And the thing is, as well, is that with anyone great, what makes them great is often their downfall, you know? Like, it's always there.
Well, I guess I don't follow UFC that much, but, like, in the UFC, whenever somebody gets to the top of it, they always have, like, a new trick. Like, remember when Ronda Rousey, she could do the armbar.
Armbar, bang, yeah.
But it's like, once you learn, how do I beat the armbar, then they have nothing.
Yes, and, you know, what made Napoleon great was probably his single-mindedness and dedication and complete obsession with war and... But that's then going to be a downfall.
And they just flipped it on him.
Flipped him and they just went, well, we'll keep going back. And then, as they're, like, so Napoleon then gets so depressed.
Did they ever engage?
They did. There was a few engagements. And also, like, Cossacks and stuff would come and, like, raid them in the night. And, like, fuck them up. This is one thing. So Napoleon was, like, he was, like, the only general up at that point. By this point, he's emperor of France, by the way.
Okay, yeah.
He's now the ruler of France. But he was the only guy who would, like, be up for fighting at night in the rain. He'd fight on Christmas Day. He had no rules whatsoever. It was like, any time, let's do this. And he tried to blow up the Kremlin. I think it was the Kremlin back then. You know, he tried to blow up the Moscow House of Parliament.
Yeah.
In the same way, at the same time, we, like, burnt down the White House. And it was that Boston
1812.
Tea. Yeah. So he blows up the Russian White House, and it just like it,
the Russian White House,
yeah, exactly. Whatever, it fails to go off. I'm sorry, you can listen to noise here if you want your fucking go fuck off to that. You square if you want the facts. Oh, I need the facts, but yeah, the dynamite doesn't go off, and then he's like, he tries to kill himself, but the poison he took with him,
Napoleon,
yeah,
because it had been such a
shit time. depressing, like Edinburgh. Do you know what I mean? All he'd seen is
brown.
It was his,
brown and grey, buddy.
His Edinburgh, you know?
Brown and grey.
I brought my army and they left nothing but bins for me. And as so he tries to kill himself, but because it's the weather's so cold, it's like fucked up the poison he was going to take.
Okay.
So he takes this poison. It doesn't kill him. It just ruins his stomach. So now he's severely ill. Turns out his other wife, his new wife that he stole off the soldier, is cheating on him with someone else. rumors about him being crap in the sack are going around all of France.
Yeah.
The French are a bit like, right, we've kind of had enough of you.
Yeah, you just killed hundreds of thousands of our men.
Yeah. At this point, the English wipe him out in a battle as well and somewhere else. And Italians, the Austrians are now back. And so every time he leaves a place, whoever he just destroyed comes back because he takes on a bigger thing.
Yeah.
Actually, he's just eat what's on his plate.
Yeah.
And they go, right, we've had enough. There's a coup against him. The Allies join in the coup and they displace him. They go, you can no longer be in France because you can't be fucking trusted. You're not the emperor anymore. What we're going to do is send you to Corsica. No, sorry, it's an island off Corsica. It's a tiny island. But you can be the emperor of this tiny island and run it. And he's like, cool.
Why wouldn't they kill him?
Because it would set a bad precedent, meaning that because after the death of the king and stuff like that, they're like, we can't just... The leaders were like, should we make a pact that we don't chop leaders' heads off?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's what good. I really like. My favorite thing about war is allowed. So you're allowed to take your poor people and make them fight another guy's poor people.
Yeah.
That is the accepted way to do things.
Yeah.
But if you assassinate the other leader, they're like,
that's really bad.
That is a crime against
humanity. This is a dangerous precedent.
You're not allowed to... you're allowed to... Like, someone's allowed to be like, my poor people fight your poor people, but we can't kill each other. It's so funny.
And what's funny is that it's the rich people going to the poor people, hey, so in this country, the poor people just took over the rich people, and we don't want that to happen here, so we're going to send our poor people so you can fight them so you don't take us and try and make your life better.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Red.
Thanks for understanding.
This is actually, you've espoused so many borderline communist opinions.
Well.
Seriously, though.
Give me this much power and I'm ripping up, I'm throwing artifacts on the floor.
Everything you've said in this episode has been borderline communist
sentiment.
I'm not
a communist. Damn, die before I'm one of them, I tell you that.
Just all of your values and beliefs
I just have
line
no power at the moment. I'm fully aware of what I do with power.
Yeah.
And that's this. But,
so they send him to this island.
He's like, oh, I promise I won't do any more. Wink, wink. He leaves. Apparently when he's leaving, he's like whispering to his men. He's like, don't worry, I'll be back. He leaves. He's in fucking loads of pain because of that pill he took.
Yeah.
Asks his wife to come out. She refuses.
Any other women who are like, I'll go with you.
Yeah, he didn't seem to care that much about women. He just loved war.
Okay.
And apparently he'd like play cards every night against the locals and just cheat like a maniac. But he couldn't lose. He could never lose anything. And his sister comes out and he's like, so in France they reinstalled the monarchy. One of Louis' relatives was hiding in England. They bring him back. They reinstall him. But he comes back and he's like, right, good for the revolution's over. Fuck all you peasants. Back to how it used to be. And everyone's gotten kind of used to it not being like that.
Yeah.
And what he should have done is a softly approach.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's going to be different. Wink, wink. And then, so like, fuck this. Napoleon keeps hearing on the grapevine that it's weak as hell. And he's like, okay. And at the time, he's got this thing that circles his island, a warship, to make sure he doesn't do anything. And he starts learning the timing of it and stuff and sitting there going, eh. And then he gets like his small member, and apparently ran the place like an emperor, even though it was a tiny thing.
He was obsessed
with the agriculture, the economy, and he like smashed this, made this island like amazing. And so he got a boat and he painted it to look like a Royal Navy ship, sailed into France, landed at this massive army garrison, and they're like, hands in the air, and he walks forward. He goes, are you really going to shoot your one true emperor in the heart? And this guy just drops his gun. All the soldiers are like, fucking Napoleon's back.
He's back, baby.
He's back. He marches from the bottom of France to Paris. As he's marching, people join onto him. And it's just like the fucking short-ass dwarf boy is
back. Oh, my God. I can't believe they haven't made a great Napoleon movie.
I know.
It seems like that'd be... It'd be
and
a
get
funny...
Tom Cruise. You go, you can be a real hype for once, Tom.
It'd be hilarious. It'd be a hilarious three-hour, like, film.
Amazing. Or a series.
Yeah.
You know. And he's like, oh, I'm going to destroy Egypt. And someone's like, yeah, well, I'm shagging your wife.
Yeah.
And he, he's the most powerful cuck that's ever lived, isn't
he? So he gets it. So he goes.
Goes, crushes France, crushes Paris, smashes them. Everyone's like, Napoleon's back. He's like, trust me, I'm back, but I'm not going to do anything bad, I promise.
I'm going to be cool. This time, I've learned my lesson.
Wink, wink. He's like, I'm going to fucking take England. And so there's obviously.
He's like, on a desert.
The Battle of Waterloo. He actually ends up getting Trafalgar, and he fights our great leader Wellington, and he loses, but it's a close fight. The problem is he's fighting so many, like everyone's against him.
Also, by that time he's fought so many battles. Whatever his initial strategies, which were probably revolutionary at the time, have now been learned, adapted, and they've figured out how to counter them.
Yeah, it's like comedy. You know, what was funny in the 70s might not be now.
That's true, Red.
You know, the way you could shoot someone is bloody, you can't shoot anyone anymore.
Yeah.
But, he loses. And apparently he lost because he was waiting for the ground to dry, and then obviously people just keep coming from other armies and stuff, like, because they're so fucking sick of him. He's just, like, trashed everyone and taken all their art. And,
yeah.
Like, can't be trusted at all. And then so they lose. He tries to flee. Gets caught. And they're like...
Napoleon!
And he goes, this time, can I go back to Corsica? And I promise I won't do anything. And they're like, fuck no. Russia are like, let's kill him. Everyone's like, kill him. And then people go, no, actually, it's not. And they send him to this island in the middle of nowhere. It's like, have you seen Papillon, the film?
No.
It's like a prison island, like, in the... Where is it? Can you just quickly? Sorry, I need to know this. But he's put in this prison island, and there's like five people on it. There are three ships circling it every day. So can't it's off the coast of South America, actually.
French Guinea penal colony.
Yeah, off the coast of South America. He fucking hates it because it's like windswept. It sucks, and it's so humid, so you can't he can't sleep. His stomach's fucked. He actually turns out he has bowel cancer. And his place is infested with rats. His next door neighbor is his jailer, and they're always arguing. But he has one last victory. He sleeps with his jailer's wife, and she gets pregnant with his kid. And he has the kid, and then he dies. But he was fucking brilliant. And he does all these things in his diary about how much his life sucks. Now he's gardening. And it's just he goes, I wear the same crown of thorns that was worn by another great, if you catch my drift. He's talking about Jesus. It's like, mate, no one's crucified. You've been sent onto an island, you know what I mean? For killing millions of people. But he's quite a character. And I think, you know, when such an amount of time's gone past?
Yeah, that's
it's kind
thing.
Of like the brattishness of tossing a 2,000-year-old piece of cutlery and smashing it in front of someone who's trying to show you respect is a level of even Trump in his prime couldn't wish to be that fucking petulant and disrespectful. Yeah. So I enjoyed that.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that's the episode.
Yeah.
We've never done that, but you did so much research by listening to a better podcast.
No, I didn't. What I've done is what took 6 hours for those idiots at Noisier to say.
This is insane.
I compressed into an hour of just the best of.
I'm losing faith in our IT. But that's.
Noisier was the Irishman. I've just done Goodfellas.
Okay. Those are both Scorsese films.
I know, but one's just tight and
better. Okay. So that was great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really impressed with the amount of things you knew, and I'm impressed with what you didn't know also. Sometimes I think, fact that he forgot that is crazy.
What did I not know?
Well, at one point you said that they burned Moscow to the ground, but then later you said he tried to blow up Moscow. So one of those statements wasn't true.
It was a city. I think it might have been Moscow. I can't remember. But he tried to blow up the House of Parliament.
Okay.
But you were right. I was fact checking as you went. It was Moscow. It was the Kremlin.
Thank you so much, Jody.
So then, what did he try to blow up with dynamite?
They might have left their own House of Parliament. You know, I'm not.
They might have. Yeah. What conjecture?
Yeah, I'm not saying they're going to do the whole fucking thing.
Okay.
Anyway, didn't he say like, what did he say, demacry or something instead of democracy?
Demography.
I said democracy.
No, you said demography. What's that?
I said democracy.
You're thinking of geography, huh?
No, democracy.
You're thinking of maps, aren't you?
All right. Well, what I'm saying is good job. Mm-hmm. That was really fun. It's great to be back in the studio. Great to be back home. Thank you so much to our super genius patrons.
Spencer.
Matthew. And I think Christopher had to stop, but I'm still going to shout him out because I love him.
And we need a new Christopher, so sign up to the Patreon.
Yeah, because there's going to be new episodes.
And we're super genius down.
So thank you. Yeah, that's it.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to an episode of The Year Is. With me, comedian Bobby Mayer, and my sometimes friend, Red Richardson, this podcast has been produced by our brilliant producer, Jody Vandenberg. Thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.